It was exactly 12 o'clock by Big Ben as Clarissa Dalloway laid her green dress on her bed and the Warren Smiths walked down Harley Street for their appointment with Sir William Bradshaw. That must be his house, with the big grey car in front of it, thought Rezia, as the echo of Big Ben died away. Indeed, the splendid grey car was Sir William's. Matching its elegant grey paint, there were grey furs and blankets inside, which kept Lady Bradshaw warm while she waited for her husband during his visits to patients out of town. For Sir William would often travel 60 miles or more into the country to visit the unhappy rich, who could afford the very large price he rightly charged for his advice. Lady Bradshaw waited with the furs and blankets on her knees, thinking sometimes of the patient, sometimes of the growing wall of gold which would protect her from all worries. Sir William himself was no longer young. He had worked very hard, earned his excellent position through his own ability, being the son of a shopkeeper, and loved his profession. Its difficulties and the demands of his many patients had given him a heavy, tired look, and, together with his silver-grey hair, one of great importance. His skill, his knowledge, his sympathy, and his understanding of the human mind could be trusted completely. The first moment the Warren Smiths came into the room, he could see that it was an extremely serious case. A case of complete breakdown of mind and body, he judged in 2 or 3 minutes. He wrote the patient's answers to his careful questions on a pink card. How long had Dr. Holmes been seeing him?
6 weeks.
Dr. Holmes had said there was nothing the matter. Ah, yes, those family doctors, thought Sir William. It took half his time to undo their mistakes, and some could never be undone.
You won medals in the war?
The patient only repeated the word war and could not answer.
Yes,
Rezia told the doctor.
And they have a good opinion of you at your office,
Sir William said.
So you are not worried about money?
He had committed a terrible crime. He had been judged by human nature, and his punishment was death.
I have,
he began,
committed a crime.
He has done nothing wrong at all, Rezia promised the doctor.
If Mr. Smith would wait, said Sir William, he would speak to Mrs. Smith in the next room.
Her husband was very seriously ill,
Sir William said.
Had he talked of killing himself?
Oh, he had, she cried. But he did not mean it.
Of course not. It was only a matter of rest, said Sir William. A long rest in bed. There was a charming nursing home in the country where her husband would be looked after perfectly.
Away from her? She asked.
Unfortunately, yes, since the people we care for most are not good for us when we are ill.
But he was not mad, was he?
Sir William said he never spoke of madness. He called it not having control. But her husband did not like doctors. He would refuse to go there. Simply and kindly, Sir William explained to her the seriousness of the case. He had talked of killing himself. There was no choice. He would lie in bed in a beautiful house in the country. The nurses were admirable. Sir William would visit him once a week. Now, if Mrs. Warren Smith was certain she had no more questions, he never hurried his patients, they would return to her husband. So they returned to the greatest of all men, the criminal who faced his judges, to Septimus Warren Smith, who sat staring, whispering messages about beauty.
We have had our little talk,
said Sir William.
He says you are very, very ill, Retzia cried.
We have been arranging that you should go into a home, said Sir William.
One of Holmes's homes,
said Septimus, with an ugly smile. Sir William, who attached great importance to clothing and manners, did not like the look of this untidy young man. He never had time for reading himself and disliked educated people who came into his room and suggested that doctors are not educated men.
One of my homes, Mr. Warren Smith, he said, where we will teach you to rest.
And there was just one thing more. He was quite certain that when Mr. Warren Smith was well, he was the last person in the world who wished to frighten his wife. But he had talked of killing himself.
We all have low moods, said Sir William.
Once you fall, Septimus repeated to himself, human nature is on you. Holmes and Bradshaw are on you. Would he avoid punishment if he confessed his crime? Septimus started. But what was his crime? He could not remember it.
Yes,
Sir William encouraged him. It was getting late. Septimus started.
Try to think about yourself as little as possible, said Sir William kindly. Really, the man should not be out in public. Was there anything else they wished to ask him?
He would make all the arrangements, he said quietly to Retzia, and let her know between 5 and 6 that evening.
Trust everything to me, he said, and showed them to the door.
Never in her life had Retzia felt such pain. She had asked for help, and he had failed them. Sir William Bradshaw was not a nice man. But what more did she want? Sir William gave his patients 3/4 of an hour exactly, and the doctor himself must keep control, or he would fail. He must command control. So he ordered rest in bed, alone, in silence, without friends, without books, for which the friends and family of his patients were always deeply grateful. But Retzia Warren Smith cried, walking down Harley Street at 1:15, that she did not like that man.